Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Notice the distinction. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And notice verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye in, rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, went in with him. Those that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Now here's the commission. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Ye know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Now, I preach messages all the time about delay. I preached a message not too long ago about the danger of delay. And then not too long ago, I preached a message on the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And God looking on the inside and not the outside. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on in the heart. And then here this morning, I want to bring your attention. Now, I want to share with you Matthew 25. If you'll come back tonight, I'll give you the doctrinal application of Matthew 25. But this morning, if you'll indulge me just a few minutes, I would like to make a spiritual application, if you will, about this particular parable in Matthew 25. Now, there are several different applications that you can make. But I understand, doctrinally speaking, we're talking about the nation of Israel here in Matthew 25. I understand all of that. But listen, for our purposes here this morning, I'm going to break this down and apply it to us today. Y'all help me out, if you will. Give me a little leeway. Now, Douglas Mark MacArthur said this: "In war, all tragedy can be summed up in 2 words, too late." Shakespeare said this: "Delays have dangerous ends." In early 1874, an inventor by the name of Elisha Gray transmitted a few musical notes over the telegraph wire. He thought to himself, "If I can send music, perhaps I could send the human voice over a telegraph wire." And the New York Times reported predictions of all talking telegraphs. And the public began to grow eager for it. And 1 year later, Gray believed that he had the answer. He said a tin can-like voice chambers connected with a wire in a liquid that could turn vibrations into signals is what came into his mind. However, he did not put his idea on paper for about 2 months. And after finally making a sketch, he waited 4 more days before he went to the patent office. When he arrived, Mr. Gray was told that just 2 hours earlier, a school teacher had come through the same door that he just walked in, and he had his own sketch and had already applied for the patent. His name is Alexander Graham Bell. Now, we know one person, we know him by name, it's because he did not delay. This other person had the same idea, but waited too long and missed out and didn't seize the opportunity when it was given to him. And we do not know Elisha's Gray. I hadn't even heard of him probably till today, or him today. But Alexander Graham Bell, we know because he did not. He seized the opportunity, and he took that opportunity, just like most of us here today need to do. Take the opportunity. If you're sitting in this building right now hearing my voice, you have an opportunity to be saved. Don't delay. Don't delay. The Puritan said this: "A preacher's job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted." The truth of the matter is that people often think that they are when they're not. Most people think they are. Most people think they are ready for heaven. Most people think that because they're a church member, they're ready for heaven. Most people think because they've been baptized, they're ready for heaven. Most people think it was because mama was a Christian, or daddy was a Christian, or grandma was a Christian, or daddy was a preacher, or I taught Sunday school. Most people think they are when they're really not. And there were 10 particular people here. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It says this. Remember this. Here's the invitation already at the beginning of the message. Here's the invitation. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves know how that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you before you can go to heaven. That's called being saved, being transformed, being regenerated, being born again. Everybody in here has been born of the Spirit, been born physically at the hospital wherever you was born at. But my friend, there needs to be a place where you have been born again by God's marvelous grace. And not born of the physical, but my friend, born of the Spirit of God. Just like what they were singing about just a few minutes ago. Churches everywhere are filled with people unprepared for His appearing. It's not enough to just realize that the bridegroom coming. You must be ready. It's more than just realizing He's coming. Yes, we believe He's coming. Yes, we do. But my friend, you better be ready for when He does come. Now, number one, I want you to show you this. Number one, 3 points and we'll be through. The specific designation. In verse number 1-5. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. Can I say this? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, just a few days after that, He ascended in Acts chapter number 2. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and for you. The bridegroom has gone and He's preparing a place. He prepared a place on the cross of Calvary so you and I could go to heaven, so you and I could be with Him, to be with the bridegroom. And He's tarrying up there. I don't know how long He's going to tarry. I don't know how long He's going to wait. But I'm telling you, the bridegroom is coming, and He could come today. The specific designation, a lot of times I say pacific. So that's why I have trouble with this. The specific designation. Notice there were bridesmaids, not brides. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this has nothing to do with the church. If you will, you'll have to come back tonight to get all of that. But can I say this? This does not imply about a mid-tribulational rapture. This does not imply any way, shape, form, or fashion about a post-tribulational rapture. We believe in the pre-millennial return of Christ. We believe in the pre-tribulational appearing of the rapture of the church. That means when you're saved, if you are saved, you will not go through the tribulation 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second. When the Lord blows the trumpet, or Michael blows the trumpet, we're catching the first train out of here, and it's called the rapture of the church. The bridegroom's going to stand in the clouds. There's 2 events. We'll talk about that tonight. But that bridegroom's going to come in the clouds, and we're going to, the bride, if you will, the bride, will go to meet Him to save. Those that are born again by God's marvelous grace will go to meet Him in the air. A lot of people are going to be left behind. This specific designation, a partial rapture. Listen, if you want to believe in a partial rapture, here it is. The saved go up, the lost stay. Amen. If you're saved, you are going up. I can guarantee you that. Now, I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice, number one, the folly of the foolish. The folly of the foolish. All 10 of these people looked the same. They all dressed the same. They all had lamps. They all looked like, everybody in here looks saved to me. I mean, I didn't see you last night. I didn't see you Friday night. But on Sunday morning, everybody looked saved. Everybody looks the same. Everybody got up and took a bath, I hope. Everybody up here combing their hair. Everybody did all of this, the preparation to come to the house of God. Everybody looks the same. But my friend, maybe not everybody in here is the same when it comes to the spiritual appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking for those that are wise and not foolish. Notice what these five foolish people had in their hand. Notice they had a lamp. Say, preacher, what is that? My friend, the Bible says, thy word shall be a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Do you know what, my friend, that Bible you hold in your lap is a lamp. And my friend, look, if you don't have any oil in that lamp, it'll just be another book to you. This book will be no different than the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now watch, I'm not discrediting this Bible. It'll be no different to you than the Cosmopolitan magazine that you read. But my friend, when the Holy Spirit of God shines the light on this Word, it becomes a glorious book. It becomes a live book. And my friend, if you want to be wise, you better ask the sweet Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the things that are in this book, because everybody, every motel's got a Bible. Every place, just about every home you go into's got a lamp or a Bible sitting in the coffee table. It may have dust all over it. It may have insurance papers hid inside of it, because no, you're not going to mess with insurance papers if it's in the Bible most of the time. I mean, it's a secure place. I mean, most people hide important documents in their Bible because they know nobody's going to find them. That's happened, ain't it? Hey, I heard about a story. Let me tell you, this is real funny. Some of you look like you need to laugh a minute. I heard about the preacher going to visit. He knocked on the lady's door and he told a little girl, said, "Don't go let the preacher in. Go let the preacher in. Come in, sit down there." And boy, she was trying to be real spiritual. You know how you do when the preacher comes over. I mean, you know, you do all that kind of stuff, push all the stuff away and all that kind of stuff. And the lady really wanted to impress the preacher. And told the little girl, said, "Little girl, well, honey, would you please go get that book that mother so dearly loves?" That little girl come back with the TV guide. Huh? You better watch, because your kids know what you hold dear. Your kids know what you hold dear. Don't tell them to go get the book you dearly love if you're not sure what your kids know that you really do love. I mean, you better whisper in their ear and say, "Hey, I'm talking about the Bible. The preacher's here." Everybody's got a lamp probably in their house, but some people ain't got any oil in their lamps. These people, the folly of the foolish, all look the same. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You know why? If you're sitting in this building right now, and there are, I'm not saying that you'll understand everything in the Bible. I'm not saying that. But my friend, that Bible, when you get saved and you begin to read that Bible, some things pull out of that Bible that you've never seen before. And when you make these phrases, "Well, preacher, I just can't read the Bible. It just don't make sense to me." And I understand I understand some of the book in Revelation. I understand all of that. But my friend, when you read, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If that doesn't open up something inside of you, you are spiritually blinded. You are spiritually discerned. You've got a lamp with no oil in it whatsoever. And the Bible says you are a fool not to have oil in your lamp. Say, "Preacher, what is oil?" It's a picture and a type of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you have to have to be saved by God's marvelous grace. Is the light of the Holy Spirit of God, the oil in your lamp. The Holy Spirit, it lightens our path. Listen, if you've got a Bible and you're not saved, it's like having a flashlight with no batteries in it. Hey, if you're not saved, you got a Bible. Well, I got a Bible, but you may have a flashlight with no batteries. It won't shine any light because you're in spiritual darkness. The folly of the foolish, my friend. Many Americans have crosses around their necks, but they do not have Christ in their heart. All ten believed, but only five belonged. Oh, hey, there was five that professed, but five that possessed. You know, a lot of people are going to go to hell by 18 inches. Everybody's got it up here, but they don't have it down here, about 18 inches. You've got a head knowledge, but my friend, it needs to be a heart knowledge. It becomes a realization that I'm lost and I need to be saved by God's marvelous grace. And the Holy Spirit of God will lighten John 3:16 to you. It'll lighten Romans 5:8 to you. It'll open Romans 10:9 and 10 to you and 10:13 to you. If whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God will start shining a light. The folly of the foolish. But number two, the wisdom of the wise. Watch. They were ready. Verse number four, they were ready. They had their lamps ready. They had everything ready. They had oil in their lamp. They had the Holy Spirit of God. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, tells us that the law of the Lord maketh wise the simple. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. Our intention governs our attention, which in turn governs our retention. Our intentions governs our attention, which turns in turn governs our retention. Hey, my friend, the difference is internal or external. Hey, can I say this? They all had lamps. They all had lamps. We read the verse not too long ago. For the Lord does not see as man seeth, but the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Amen. There is a difference. There is a difference in professing to be saved and possessing to be saved. There are people that possess it in their heart. There are people that come and dress up and come to church every Sunday and they're professing. They'll raise their hand, I'm going to heaven when I die. But my friend, it does not dwell in their heart. They have never trusted Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. They prayed a prayer at Vacation Bible School one time. Some preacher shook their hand, did not lead them to Christ, shook their hand down here, made them sign a card, said, now you're a member of this church. They never led them to Christ. They never broke open the Bible and showed them how they needed to be saved, and they are thinking they're going to heaven by making a profession when it never has become a possession. All men everywhere are divided into two classes of people. You are prepared to meet God or you're not prepared to meet God. Number three, let me share with you this, the sudden declaration. I want you to notice verse number six. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Listen, in the Bible, there's many midnight scenes in the Bible. I don't know if I've ever preached through them over here before, but in Exodus chapter number 12, I know I've preached on the Passover before, but not in this particular context. And at midnight, the death angel came through. And at midnight is when the blood was applied on the doorpost. Then you go over to Acts chapter number 16. Paul and Silas sang at midnight. That's when the blessings were ascribed. But my friend, in Matthew 25, here at the midnight hour is when the bridegroom cometh. And he's coming, ladies and gentlemen. He could come today. He could come tonight while you're sleeping. He could come in the middle of the night. My friend, will you be ready to go and meet the bridegroom when he calleth? A sudden declaration. All ten of them had time. All ten of them had time to be saved. But they slumbered and slept. They slumbered and slept. Now listen, you say, preacher, the Bible says all ten of them slumbered and slept. Well, watch this. I sleep real good at night. Amen. If you're not saved, I would suggest you stay up all night long. And I suggest you read that Bible until the Holy Spirit of God begins to lighten your path. I would be afraid to close my eyes when I went to bed tonight if I did not know that I was ready to meet Him. If He should come in the midnight hour. Now listen, I don't know about y'all, but I'm in bed at midnight. I mean, y'all stay up all night, you know. Hey, burning the midnight oil. Hey, if you burn too much, you ain't going to have nothing left. Burning the midnight oil. Hey, it'd be good to go to bed. That way some of you get all them eye boogers out of your eyes this morning. Walk in here at 11 o'clock. I mean, oh, preacher, I'm so tired. Well, what time do you go to bed? All three. I mean, we're planting a garden on Facebook. I mean, you know. Man, who in their right mind would stay up till 3 o'clock and plant a fictitious garden on Facebook? I heard, I'm not trying to throw my friend under the bus, but look. I really ain't got time to tell this story. We were on our way to singing. And Mark is on the phone with his wife. And I hate that, this is my friend. He'll be a scapegoat for just a few minutes. And we're on our way to singing. He's over in the pasture side talking to his wife. And said, could you please get on and sell them potatoes? And I need, because if I don't feed them sheep over there, they're going to die. And I'm thinking to myself, when did Mark become a farmer? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, man, this is important. I'm proud of him. Planting a garden. I'm sitting there, I got tears coming to my eyes. Man, this man is taking care of his family. He's out there tilling the garden. He's having his wife to pick the tomatoes. And I said, Mark, man, I didn't know. He said, oh, it's a little game on Facebook. I started to wreck the truck, man. I said, my goodness. Have no idea what that had to do with the midnight hour, but watch this. If he comes, would you be ready to go? The sudden declaration, my friend, the blessed assurance of those that are saved, but it's an assumption if you're lost. I assume I'm ready. I hope I'm ready. Maybe I'll be ready. But my friend, if you're saved, it is a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Aaron. Hey, don't take a nap if you've got an empty lamp. Hey, you ever check your oil in your car? It'd be a good thing to do. Because watch, this ain't never happened to me, and I've always feared this, but you're going down the road, and all of a sudden you hear a clicking noise. Hey, this ain't proper English, but there ain't no oil in the crankcase. If that starts a clicking, it's too late to be checking it. Hey, when the trumpet sounds, it's too late to be checking if you got oil in your car. When the trumpet sounds, it's too late. My friend, don't take a nap if you ain't got oil in your lamp. He could come today, and my friend, without the sweet Holy Spirit of God, you cannot go to heaven. When he comes, the sudden declaration, the sad desperation. I'm through. Verse 7 through 13, watch. Then all those virgins arose. The bridegroom has come. He said, go ye out to meet him. They trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, hey, hurry up, give us your oil. Our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, oh, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell. Hey, in the tribulation period, you'll have to have the mark of the beast to buy and sell. That's tonight. In verse number 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Those were the wise. And the door was shut. If you'll notice chapter number 24 and verse number 37, watch. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you remember another time in Genesis chapter number 7 when God told Noah, get your family, get those animals, get in the ark, and I will shut the door. And can I say this? Noah didn't shut it. God shut the door. And when it began to rain, when the judgment began to come, when the tribulation set in, people ran to that ark and they were knocking. Noah, please let us in. Our kids are out here. Please. We were dumb. We should have listened to you. Noah, would you? you please let us in? And Noah's saying, I didn't shut the door. I cannot open it till we get to the other side. Notice when the bridegroom came, those that were ready went in, and God closed the door. You say, preacher, I got plenty of time. If the rapture was to take place right now, I'll run down here real quick. It won't take but a minute. I'll run down here real quick. My friend, the door will be shut. The door was going to be shut, especially if you're hearing my voice right now and you're hearing the gospel right now. The door will definitely be shut, and those that have heard the gospel will be sent a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And when the rapture takes place and the tribulation sets in, you can come down to this altar all you want to. You can pray and ask Jesus come in your heart all you want to. But my friend, it won't do you any good because the door is shut and the reign of judgment has already set in. Notice, my friend, it's a sad, sad desperation. Notice they beat on the door. They beg for a response. They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. Notice in verse number 11, afterward he came also, the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And this is what the Lord said. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now watch. People say, hey, can you lose your salvation? Can you lose your salvation? You know, all about this eternal security. What about this? Notice this. He said, I know you not. He didn't say, well, I used to know you and I don't know you no more. He said, I used to know you. He said, hey, and there's another verse. It said, depart from me. This is what God said. Depart from me. I never. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, hey, I thought God knew everything. He does know everything, but He don't know everybody. Right. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Luke 16. There were two men there. One, He called the rich man. The other one He called Lazarus. He knew one of them's name. He didn't mention the other. Why? Because when that rich man stands before God, he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't even know your name. Say, preacher, oh, that's so sad. Oh, how can God do that? No, my friend, He wants to know you today. He wants to know you right now. He wants to know you right now in the free pardon of sin. He's knocking on Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. He says, behold, I stand for the door and knock. If any man will open him and come in and sup with him and he with me. My friend, He wants to fellowship with you today. He wants to fellowship. He wants to know you as long as the door is open. But my friend, when that door is shut, it will be too late. And He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Their request, their refusal, their regret. Without oil in your lamps, you're going to be left in darkness. I'm closing watch. Don't miss the invitation watch. When the Lord comes and your lamps ain't got oil in them, you're going to be left in darkness. I think the Bible says, Jude, verse 13, the blackness of darkness forever. God said this, outer darkness where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's no light in hell. Say, preacher, I didn't know y'all was going to preach on hell. Look, we preach on hell all the time. Why? Because we don't want people to go there. Say, preacher, man, hey, I mean, this big church like this, man, all these people, look, you can't keep a church preaching on hell. Look, don't come to Holy Hills if you don't want to hear about hell, because we're going to tell people about hell, because there's people right there that the door's already closed on them, and they're burning in hell right now. It is a real place. It is a literal place. Just like my loved ones that are saved are in heaven, there are those that are in hell right now because they waited too long. I end with a story. A lady in Scotland went to hear the great evangelist, George Whitefield. I like reading about George Whitefield. He preached. He was preaching on this particular text. She sat by two young men in the very, very back. And while he was preaching, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. The door's going to be shut. The door's going to be shut. And she heard this lady, heard them two little boys, her teenage boys, right behind them, making fun of George Whitefield while he was preaching. Said, ah, don't worry about that door being shut. There'll be another one opened. Don't worry about that, son. Don't worry about that. They began to make fun. Said, ah, don't worry about the door being shut. There'll be another one opened. And have you ever been thinking of something in the pew? You ever been thinking of something out there and all of a sudden whoever's preaching, begins to preach on that particular thing, and it was almost like you said it out loud and he heard you. Am I the All of a sudden, George Whitfield. I mean, they didn't have PA system. There's no way he could have heard what they were whispering and laughing about. And he said, some of you sitting in here right now are wondering about that door. And you're thinking to yourself, well, if God shuts this door, He'll open up another one. And George Whitfield said, yes, that is definitely true. When God shuts the door of salvation, another door will open. And he began to read the book of Revelation where the bottomless pit, the door will be opened. And there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said, if you miss this door of salvation, another door will open. And it'll be the door to the bottomless pit. Those without Christ, those without God that know not God are going to that awful place. Don't miss the bridegroom. He's coming. Go, you have to meet him. Everybody says, Lord, Lord's not going to enter. Everybody says, Lord, Lord's not going to enter. Notice these people said, Lord, Lord, open to us. My friend, you better call on him while the door's open. The bridegroom cometh. Are you ready today? It's about eyes closed. Let me ask you this while Mark begins to play this.